Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Rain has slowed interior wildfires, but the blazes are expected to rekindle. Prior to rain showers, which began yesterday afternoon, heat and wind grew wildfires, including the Shovel Creek Fire northwest of Fairbanks. Now mapped at over 10,000 acres, the fire spread north toward cabins along the Chattanooga River and to the south and east, where evacuation notices were issued for two subdivisions early yesterday. Speaking at a public meeting last night, fire behavior analyst Bill Aney emphasized that the Shovel Creek Fire is expected to rebound from the rain.
Somewhere around two, maybe 3 days of respite before the fire picks up the same behavior that it had yesterday and the day before.
I mean, this is going to be a long one. It's not something we're going to put out in the near future.
Incident Commander Norm McDonald says the fire's large size and the expected resumption of warm, dry weather mean a long-term response. 550 people are working the blaze, an organization McDonald says is growing and changing.
We got replacements coming in the form of crews. The folks who've been here for 2 weeks are getting timed out. They're going back home, and we're getting fresh crews in, and that's just going to be a cycle that will continue as long as we need it. With that, one of the changes that's going to come in the middle of the week is we have another incident management team. Our team is a Type 2 incident management team with the scope and the potential longevity of this fire. The decision was made yesterday to bring a Type 1 team in.
McDonald says the size and advance of the fire are requiring a new strategy. Operations Chief Jake Livingston described the latest plan, which anchors on a fuel break put in over a decade ago.
Use the fuel break along the main Old Murphy Dome Ridge around to the McLeod subdivision, and then to use equipment, dozers and feller bunchers under the McLeod subdivision, and then put dozer line out toward the Chattanooga River.
Livingston also pointed to ongoing efforts to prepare properties in case the fire reaches them. Meanwhile, the North Star Borough continues to coordinate evacuation with a three-level Ready, Set, Go protocol, a process Emergency Operations Director David Gibbs says involves significant help from volunteers.
The Red Cross is here. We also have Community Emergency Response Team volunteers that went out and literally knocked on every door in the areas that we have within those places that we wanted to prepare for evacuation. I also want to acknowledge that all of the area fire departments have contributed equipment to support you. So it's truly a borough-wide effort.
Gibbs says it's unclear how many people moved out of their homes following a Level 3 evacuation notice issued early Sunday for about 50 residences in the Martin and Perfect Perch subdivisions.
We don't know how many people actually evacuated. What we do know is that six people sought shelter in our facility last night. We had about 25 sled dogs that were hosted at our emergency pet shelter facility. And I believe we currently have two cats and three ponies there now.
We had already decided that once we got to a level two, we were going to take our dogs out.
Musher Katie Jo Dieter lives outside the areas noticed to evacuate, but close enough that she says moving her 40 dogs to a safer spot in another subdivision seemed prudent.
The smoke was really heavy and we were struggling to load them. It's a workout for us to load them all up, and they, of course, get excited anytime we're doing anything with them, and so it was hard to see them in those conditions, but they're probably tougher than we are. That's usually the case.
Dieter says evacuating the dogs also enables focus on the clearing of trees and otherwise preparation of the kennel property for fire. Work continues in the Delta Junction area to contain a 150-acre lightning-caused wildfire burning on state land about 15 miles from town. A report posted yesterday to the Alaska Interagency Coordination Center says lightning sparked the Rainbow 2 fire Saturday in a patch of mostly black spruce west of the Delta River. It says the fire is about 8 miles north of the over 34,000-acre Oregon Lakes burn from earlier this season. The AICC says rain and cooler weather, along with water and retardant airdrops, kept the fire from growing Sunday. Smoke jumpers are protecting cabins on Rainbow Lake and along the Richardson-Clearwater River, about 8 miles northeast of the fire. Governor Mike Dunleavy's $400 million in operating budget vetoes include cuts to state funding for local governments. The Fairbanks North Star Borough stands to lose about $5 million in community assistance and another $5 million in school bond debt reimbursement. As KUAC's Robin reports, the lost money will be made up for with local property taxes.
Presiding Officer Matt Cooper has called the Borough Assembly in for a special meeting a week from today on July 8th to review the governor's vetoes and assess how they might impact local government.
things like school bond debt reimbursement and community assistance. The borough has already budgeted for those, and unfortunately taxpayers are going to bear the brunt of those vetoes because it means an increase in the mill rate and property taxes.
In his effort for smaller government, the governor killed $30 million for the Community Assistance Fund, what used to be called municipal revenue sharing. Somewhere between $4 and $6 million of that was to come to Fairbanks. Of greater concern is the borough's obligation to the district's 34 schools. In May, the Assembly built into the fiscal year 2020 budget a draw on local reserves and an increase in the mill rate of 1.6 mills as a contingency if the school bond debt money did not come through. On Friday, the governor vetoed $49 million in state school bond debt payback. About $5 million of that was designated for Fairbanks. That loss will now be made up with local property taxes. Superintendent Karen Gaborik says that will insulate the school district from further cuts, but students and teachers will feel the loss of auxiliary programs, such as the early childhood development grants that the governor vetoed out of the Department of Education and Early Development.
Like Best Beginnings and Head Start, Parents as Teachers, you know, a really important program. We have a great kindergarten jumpstart program. Now, I just went and visited the kids just last week. Kindergartners are getting a jumpstart to be ready for school. So all that funding is going away.
The governor vetoed about $20 million for rural school districts. They have no private property base to tax. Gaborik says the governor's huge vetoes create a lot of uncertainty.
Some of the urban districts that have not been impacted by the immediate veto, we're just bracing ourselves because we know what's coming in the next round.
She was referring to the governor's plans to remove forward funding for education already promised for the next fiscal year.
And also, I'm just super appreciative of the legislators who have coalesced. They've put education funding first. They had a plan. They forward funded. They're trying to create stability, and I hope they can get the votes to override.
Assemblymember Matt Cooper is also advocating for an override of the governor's vetoes by the legislature, which is also coming in for a special session next Monday. He says the vetoes impact Alaskans' everyday life.
Cuts to the university are going to cause people to leave town. Cuts to Medicaid and other community programs are going to cause people to leave town. If the veto of the university funding is not overridden by the legislature, I think it's going to have a devastating impact on our local economy.
Cooper says there will be a borough assembly resolution drafted by tomorrow addressing the governor's vetoes. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A Yukon Quest musher has been fined because one of his dogs tested positive for a banned drug. A release from the Quest says a urine test found that a dog in the team of 2019 Quest finisher Brian Wilmshurst of Dawson City came back positive for norketamine, a metabolite of the anesthesia drug ketamine. The Quest says small amounts of the drug were found, possibly derived from tainted dog food. It says mushers are ultimately responsible for their dogs and that the Quest board decided to penalize Wilmshurst $3,200, the sum of his 13th place prize money. Wilmshurst did not reply to a request for comment. I'm Dan Bross.